This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. Six games on the slate for Wednesday. A relatively small slate for Wednesday. Normally, Wednesdays, we get 10, 12 games. But we got a delicious nine games late on Tuesday. So a little fewer games on Wednesday. Still a decent amount for the judge and for you guys as well, I hope. You probably notice in my voice, I came down with the mystery illness going around the NBA. So I do have a cold. Man, I mean, just hope you learn your lessons from the judge. Not only in DFS related, but if a super cute girl tries to sell you a winter coat, and for the ladies who are listening, if a super cute guy tries to sell you a coat and says this for the winter, make sure you get a second opinion. Because man, I feel like crap. I was gonna sit this one out and take a day off. But then I looked at the numbers, and we were having so many listeners, almost over 6,000 from yesterday's show. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to suck it up and do a podcast for you guys because I do like the slate for Wednesday. It's going to be an abbreviated show. We're not going to do much Dream Killers and Dream Lovers because, I mean, I'm not sure how long my voice is going to last. I hope it will last, you know, 30, 45 minutes, but that's probably going to be, you know, some of you will probably be happy. No, it was weird. I did a poll to see if you guys want an hour-long show with Dream Killers and Dream Lovers or if you guys only want me to focus on the next day's slate, which will probably reduce it to like a 30 to 45-minute show. And the results were very mixed. That there was a slight victory for the people, you guys loving the Dream Killers and Dream Lovers, which is basically a way of recapping the previous day's slate as well. So going forward, maybe I'll mix it up a little bit. But today, probably a little bit short of our podcast. Before we get started, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You know, if the judge is going to get on here sick, least you can do is give him some 5 stars and write a little nice review, right? That's very easy. You can do it while you're listening to the judge right now. It'd be glorious for me. That much appreciated. I know a lot of you have done that already. Also, download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. A lot of you cannot find where to enter the promo enter the promo code when you download the app. That's fine. Then just alert the judge either via Twitter at DanielAGreen1 or via the website DGCourtroomDFS.com. You can email me there. And we'll get that sorted out for you. By the way, I know a bunch of you guys emailed me on Tuesday, but I didn't leave my bed at all except a couple times just to like let the bailiff out, and that was about it. And oh, and one time I threw my gavel at the TV, so I had to get up and throw my gavel. I bet you guys know which player I was mad at. Which player forced me to throw the gavel? He'll be the one dream killer that I probably talk about for a little bit, but yeah. So please download the app Draft. If you go on their homepage right now, you will see it is glorious. The Judges Chamber tournament is on there. It's an NCAA style bracket challenge. It's for 5 days, so it's a $20 entry fee. But a $20 entry fee, it's for 5 days. So really, it's like if you keep winning. So really, it's like, you know what? Not even $5 a day. Like $4 a day. So a pretty good deal, I think, going forward. And right now, I think the one filled up from yesterday, the bracket filled up yesterday. So there was a new one that just got released today. And then going forward, maybe we'll try to increase it, the number of people who can enter. Maybe it was like a 64-style bracket. And then maybe we'll reduce the entry fee a little bit. But hopefully, let's get the thing filled up. I'm telling you, if you guys haven't played, I'm not saying this just because they're a sponsor. It really is a cool app. And I mean, doing snake drafts is awesome. That's the best part of doing fantasy, you know, fantasy basketball outside of DFS. So it's just a really cool change from DFS, and you guys will love it. You have the judge almost guarantees it. It's a lot of fun. So get in there, and then going forward, we'll see about, you know, reducing. If you guys do think, I know, 'cause a couple of you said you're hoping the entry fee could be a little bit less. So the judge will work on that, and we will get something that we all are comfortable with. But it's gonna be awesome. So it starts tomorrow. I think it starts tomorrow. I think the draft starts around 6 p.m. Eastern or something like that. So I'm looking forward to it. The judges, I am in both of them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. If you would like a consultation with the judge, that may be arranged. Although I'm not sure. At some point, I may just stop doing those because one, you guys are getting too good at DFS. I'm not happy with you guys beating the judge in the chambers some days. I was giving you all my secrets in the consultations, but so I'm not sure how long I'm going to keep doing those. But for the at least right now, I'm still doing one or two a day. Today I had to cancel one because I'm on death's door with this cold. But I have another one tomorrow or like two tomorrow, and I try to do one or two a day right now. So if you really would like to improve your skills and research and roster construction, entering the right contests, all that good stuff, let me know. And so for chambers, we had a 75 people were entered into the DraftKings chambers for Tuesday. For Wednesday, the judge may make it 100 people. How glorious will that be on DraftKings? Not only if stupid FanDuel would allow us to do the same thing, but no, they're too busy in bed with Roto Grinders, where they will deny the judge the opportunity to have a fantastic 100 man or 75 man tournament. But don't worry, we will get there eventually with FanDuel as well. So we had three chambers on FanDuel of 20 people each, and then we had one on DraftKings, 75 people. I'm just going to give a quick shout out to the winners. Offensive username 2015 won one of the chambers on FanDuel. Erd Spider and Betting Jams won the other two. So congrats to you guys on DK. I'm going to give the shout out. The judge finished fourth, so I will give shout outs to the three people who defeated the judge on DraftKings. D Johnson won, MG Fresh, and James OG 2008. I don't know. Like, does that mean in 2008? Is that when you became an OG? Like before that, you were not an OG. I wonder what happened to James in 2008. I'm very fascinated by usernames. But congrats to all you guys. Yeah, I mean, you happened just to win on the wrong night because the judge is sick. So I can't even. I don't even really know who you played. And yeah, but still, the judge salutes you. If you so not, you don't have video, but I just gave you a proper salute. I even stood. So congrats, Dream Killers, Dream Lovers. I just want to hop into the slate before I pass out from Wednesday. But let's talk about Doug McDermott, shall we? I may have gotten more tweets about Doug McDermott than I've gotten anything in my entire life since I've been playing DFS. I mean, you guys, first of all, can we make a new rule? If a guy is priced under 5K, we have to give him until halftime before we can announce he's a dream killer. We just have to. Because when you're that cheap, you know, when you're like a $4,000 player like Doug McDermott is, all he needs is like one 6 to 8 minute stretch where he hits a couple threes, stumble, bumble, fumbles into a couple rebounds, and then he hits value and he's fine. So a lot of, and I am guilty of this as well. I'm not gonna, you know, not only yelling, I'm not only lecturing at the listeners. I do this too sometimes. I'm quick to and it is easy when someone gets two quick fouls to call him a dream killer. But on those under, this is a new rule that's implemented for tomorrow. If you are under 5K, you cannot be a dream killer yet or a soul crusher until halftime. If you are still, like, you know, pissing the bed at halftime, then that's when we can officially start calling you a dream killer or even throwing that word around. But McDermott was horrendous. He was awful. He got in early foul trouble. And this was the problem going into it. If you watch the Bulls play, a lot of games he has trouble getting shots anyway. And that's when you have Wade and Butler drawing all the attention to the defense, him running off of screens, because he can't create his own shot at all. And what you saw on display was a guy with zero athleticism. Now, maybe in college at Creighton, he could get away with, you know, getting his own shot. But in the NBA, no. It's just not going to happen. And not to mention, Washington, for a large stretch of that game, they had Kelly Oubre on Doug McDermott. Kelly Oubre, I think, is Washington's best defensive player. And Otto Porter has become a sneaky good defensive player as well. So it was not his night. And then to make matters worse, with one trick ponies, they got to make shots. He still got 11 shots. He was just 2 for 11. If he goes 6 for 11, he's probably not a dream killer. So he, not only did he stink, get in foul trouble, didn't play a ton of minutes, but he also, he couldn't get his own shot. So he was taking tough shots. And the few open ones he missed. So it was just an awful night for him. And then when other guys came in, I mean, you saw the difference between an athletic guy who can create his own shot with Denzel Valentine, who, you know, played much better. Even MCW, Jerry and Grant, those guys, you know, could actually do some things on the court, where McDermott is just super limited. So that's basically what happened with him in that game. What was shocking is the Bulls kept that game close. And Washington, I mean, I don't know if you guys are watching that game, but when Washington and John Wall hit a shot at, like, with like 2 seconds to go to put Washington up by two, the announcers acted like it was the NBA championship, and John Wall, that was his celebration. And I'm like, dude, you beat a D League team without Butler and Wade. I mean, like, give me a break. But so from now on, Doug McDermott, his new nickname for me is, I don't know if you guys have seen The Village. Maybe you guys are too young to have seen that movie, but they were, like, the evil people in that movie were called Those We Don't Speak Of. So that is Doug McDermott's new name. I know it's a handful. It's a large something, but it's Those We Don't Speak Of. So from now on, you know, when I'm going through his plays, that's how I will refer to him until he has a game and he makes us some money, because he costs a lot of us money. He was over 50% owned in almost everything. Dream Lovers, I'm just going to say one, and that was my sneaky ninja of the night. I know a lot of you guys played him. I got lots of tweets from you guys making some nice money because you guys played Valachunas. He put up over 50 DraftKings points, close to 50 FanDuel points. I mean, at 5K, basically 10 times value, he was a monster. I think he had almost a 20 points and 20 rebound game. He was close to that. I know he had a career high in rebounds. He was great. You can attack Boston bigs. And what I always tell you guys about, I mean, the thing people don't realize about Valachunas, he's a monster. He's huge. And I'm not talking only tall. He's just super thick. Like, he's a monstrous body in there. It's just one, and he has really good. He's super offensively talented. But that's why it's always so shocking when he doesn't get big minutes. And he finally did get some nice. And you can attack Boston bigs. So I mean, he was destroying the Boston bigs, and he played. That might have been the best game I've seen him play. I didn't expect him to get a 50 burger, but I played him everywhere. So I had a lot of lines with Valachunas and McDermott. And I was able to make a decent amount of money on Tuesday simply because Valachunas just went absolutely bonkers for me. So hopefully you took the judge's advice and you played him too and made some money. All right, let's go over injury news for Wednesday. I don't understand what the hell happened to Derrick Rose. Like, he's going to play on Wednesday, and I'm furious. Like, no one still knows what happened. Like, it was allegedly like a family emergency why he went home. What a bunch of crap. When's the last player you've heard of just like leaving the team, not contacting anyone, not showing up for the game, and then not reaching out to anyone for like 4, 5, 6 hours? Like, give me a break. Even if if there's a family emergency and you have to fly home, you're going to be stuck at the airport. You're going to have so much downtime. You can't make a phone call to someone. Something fishy is going on with the Knicks and Derrick Rose. I don't know what the hell it is. Super bizarre. I cannot believe he's going to play and start. He should be benched. He should be waived. But whatever. For DFS purposes, he's playing. Tyler Zeller, questionable. Avery Bradley, questionable. Eric Gordon, questionable. Serge Ibaka for Orlando is questionable, and so is Elfrid Payton. Huh. That's interesting. And also Zach LaVine is questionable with a hip contusion. What I want all of you to note with Zach LaVine being out, if he is out, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins gets a 7.6% usage bump. That's insane. When Klay Thompson was out today on Tuesday, Steph Curry got, I think it was a similar usage bump. And I had Steph Curry in every single lineup that I played. And Curry did not play that well. He shot poorly and he still put up almost 50 FanDuel points. And he also made me a lot of money. So I know Wiggins is a one trick pony. He's a risky play. Maybe you don't want to play him in cash, but if LaVine is out, I will be loading up on Andrew Wiggins in all four, in maybe not cash games, but it may be a day to play him in all formats. All right, let's go over. Let's take a flight to Vegas, shall we? The judge's favorite stop in Vegas is the Hard Rock. I love the blackjack tables there. I'm not gonna lie. Also, it's a lovely things to look at there, if you guys know what I mean. So we're still waiting on three over-unders. The three that are up, you have Memphis and OKC. So, I mean, this slate's really fascinating to me because you have Harden and Westbrook. You have Westbrook against Memphis. Last time Westbrook played Memphis, he had like 25 FanDuel points. It was an utter debacle. Harden is on a back-to-back at Minnesota. Now, you've heard me in the past. I talked about it yesterday. Harden on back-to-backs sometimes is a little risky because he takes a lot of threes, and when those legs aren't fully there, he's short on a lot of jump shots. And if he's not making it his threes, he still can put up a big number, but is he going to pay off his salary? Probably not. So, the Houston plays at Minnesota. There's no line yet because I guess we're waiting on LaVine before they put up a line. But so also Harden is more expensive than Westbrook now for the first time all year. So I'm fascinated by how everyone's going to handle those two. The Knicks at Philadelphia, 210 over-under. That's going to be a nice game. You can attack on both sides. Orlando at the Clippers. The Clippers are a 10-point favorite. I'm surprised that there's a line on that game since Ibaka is questionable and Elfrid Payton is questionable. So that's a little surprising. Teams playing up in pace. Minnesota. I'm going to love, man, I hope LaVine sits. I really do. So Minnesota's playing up in pace. Memphis against OKC. Cleveland on a back-to-back. Is there a line? Yeah, there's no. Why isn't there a line in the Cleveland game? That's weird. Cleveland at Portland. So, I mean, if you play the Cleveland guys against Utah on Tuesday, I know I got a lot of tweets from people saying they were not happy. LeBron did okay. And Love and Irving were a little – didn't do that well. But Fat Waffle House Julius Randle sucked. So I think Love did just as good as Randle, if not a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, if you played Cleveland against Utah, like I said on the show yesterday, it was probably you probably only should have played them in tournaments because with the pace of that game, it's tough to play those guys. It's tough to play anyone when you have fewer possessions. If your price is a certain amount, it's priced based on your average number of possessions. And when you play a Memphis and a Utah or a Dallas, your number of possessions is going to get cut by 15, 20, 25. And that will absolutely impact your number of FanDuel points or DraftKings points. But Cleveland it does have a nice matchup here against Portland on back-to-back. And then Philly against the Knicks. Those are the teams I'd like to attack the most. All right, let's hop right into the plays because I already could sense my voice going down. Point guard. So Westbrook, you know, and 12.1K, Memphis. I already mentioned that last time he played Memphis, he put up 25 FanDuel points. Now, OKC, I can't remember if Westbrook got ejected. I think he got ejected this game. So it's a little misleading. Only played 23 minutes. Could he still get there? We've seen people have monster games against Memphis and Utah and Dallas. You can do it. But am I going to use Westbrook in cash on this slate? Probably not. Will I use him in tournaments? Hell yes. And I will hope that because, like I said, it's the same thing like I said for the Cleveland guys yesterday. This is a day where you can get Westbrook at a somewhat low ownership. And when I won my first GPP, it was because I got Harden when he was like 3% owned. Now, is Westbrook going to be 3% owned? No. But I think he's a good tournament play. Now, the pace obviously hurts here, but if you want to do it for tournaments, absolutely. I would not recommend it for cash. John Wall, 9.5K. John Wall annoys me so much after watching him celebrate against the Bulls. Also, the Bulls keeping that game close cost me money because Wall ended up playing 40 minutes and having 53 FanDuel points, and I faded him completely because I thought for sure they would blow the Bulls out without Butler and Wade. By the way, kudos to Rondo because Rondo played super hard and played really well for the Bulls and kept them in that game. So Wall is now playing Washington at Boston. Both teams are on back to backs. There's no line here yet either. I think this over under should be pretty juicy. It might be the highest one of the night. No, Houston and Minnesota will be. This is probably the second best game in terms of over under. I like both the point guards in this game. You guys have heard me. You guys know my favorite thing in life, besides the bailiff, is usage rate and or pace. So the fact that Wall's got 34.4% usage rate in a pretty fast game here up against Isaiah Thomas defense. Also, all signs to me say that he's safe all formats. And I think this game, I hope it can stay close. I mean, Washington had to exert a lot of energy, and I have a bad feeling it's going to cost them on a back-to-back in Boston. Plus, Boston had a bad loss at Toronto, so Boston's probably going to be super pissed. And I something in me senses a Boston blowout here, but Wall's fine. I mean, that usage alone always puts him in play. Chris Paul, I mean, has anyone played Chris Paul in like the last couple of weeks? it seems like he's just a forgotten guy. I mean, he's been injured so long. He started off the year, the Clippers were blowing everyone out. I mean, Blake Griffin still is out. So with Blake out, he has a monster usage rate. He'll be sneaky because no one's been playing him. The last game against Miami, it was like during the day, so it wasn't on the main slate. I don't know if how many people even noticed. He had 56 FanDuel points. So I think that game most people didn't even recognize. Now you get Orlando. I mean, the problem here is blowout. So I don't know if I want to play him in cash because they should destroy Orlando, especially if there's no Fournier and there's no Ibaka. But quite honestly, I think for like single entry and GPPs, could Chris Paul end up being the highest, having the most FanDuel points or DraftKings points at the end of the night? Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, we have to remember that he's been hurt so much lately. Without Blake Griffin, his usage rate, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's well over 30-something, 32, 33. It's got to be close to like what John Wall's is. So I think I think he might be safe for all formats, because if they do blow Orlando out, it's going to be because Chris Paul is getting tons of assists. So I'm overruling myself already. Safe for all formats. Damian Lillard on a back-to-back versus Cleveland against the Lakers. He was okay. 39 FanDuel points. Only played 31 minutes. I think they blew the Lakers out though. So that's good that he didn't play a ton of minutes on Tuesday. You know, he's fine. I don't know why I don't get excited about playing Lillard, Jrue Dench this year. But you can do it. Another guy. I mean, point guard as always is loaded. So I'll have exposure. I just got to figure out. I mean, that's a nice game to stack as well. So. You know, Kyrie Irving defense is delicious. So he's another guy safe for all formats. Isaiah Thomas, 8.9K. I played a decent amount of him because without Avery Bradley, his usage rate is, I mean, it's close to like 38%. With Avery Bradley, it's still ridiculous at 35, close to 35%. Yeah. I mean, he had 27 actual points, but at his salary now, he only gave me 38 FanDuel points, and he's 8.9K. So he was more expensive than Steph Curry. And therefore, he kind of let me down. I mean, he's got to be so good now. And the scary thing about him is, you talk about one-trick ponies, there's been two games in the last five where he's basically pulled a DeMar DeRozan, and he's had zero assists. And against New Orleans, he had 38 points, zero assists. Against Utah, against Miami, he had 52 actual points, zero assists. So I don't know, man. Some of this feels like fool's gold because he's basically like DeMar DeRozan on steroids. So I still think he's fine, but I mean he doesn't pass at all anymore. So he's a great tournament play, but I think I'd prefer a guy like Lillard, a guy like Chris Paul, a guy like John Wall, who are not so scoring dependent, who are basically a lock to give me those assists. Whereas Isaiah Thomas, he's just got to make shots. So if he has a really, really bad shooting night, we're all screwed. Kyrie Irving, 8.4K. I think he'll bounce back. I love playing Kyrie on back-to-backs for Cleveland because he's still, you know, the young guy for that team. There's been small rumblings about Cleveland resting a guy on Wednesday, so keep your eyes out on that. Otherwise, Irving, another guy, fine for all formats. Mike Conley, 7.2K. So, you know, made a living this year on playing guys who are matched up against Russell Westbrook because he doesn't play defense on the other end. Now, the last time Memphis played OKC, Conley did not play, and he's been sneaky good the last three games, 35, 50, 40, last three. That's, you know, that's crushing value. He's in an elite spot here, and I think he's another guy. I don't like you. I've used him in cash, I think, once this year. I may do it on this slate because I think I do want to get Harden in there. At least right now I'm leaning towards Harden, even although on the back-to-back still worries me. I think Irving, I just think Conley's safe, and he's, you know, saves me $2,000 from the John Wall, Chris Pauls. So I'm going to be playing a lot of Conley. I just got to figure out where. Derrick Rose, 6.6K. I mean, God only knows what to make of this guy. You would think I don't know. It's going to be tournaments only for me. I'm not going to touch him in cash. But he's allegedly starting, and you would think he'd be motivated, and he knows he has to have a monster game. Otherwise, he could be waived, man. I mean, who knows what's going on with that guy. So, but tournament's only for me. I mean, in theory, he should have his way with TJ O'Connell, Sergio Rodriguez. So he's got a good matchup on paper. Ricky Rubio. So his price has come up because he's coming off his best game of the year. We're at 49 FanDuel points. He's going to be matched up with Patrick Beverley. That worries me a little bit, but not too much because Rubio is not scoring dependent. So can Rubio still get assists with Patrick Beverley guarding him? Sure. And in a super fast-paced game, yeah, I mean, I'll have exposure to Rubio. Probably single entry and GPPs only. I don't think I'll use him in cash, but you could if you wanted to. Speaking of Beverley, he's also 6K, same price as Rubio. You can tell that wrist is still bothering him. I mean, if you were reading some of the articles that came out today, he said he hasn't like practiced shooting in like since he hurt his wrist, which has been a few weeks. Like he takes no practice jump shots. That's a little, you know, at 6K, he's got to get his 30 Fando points, and that's a lot for someone like him who's not a great scorer anyway. So I'm not going to be playing a ton of Beverley on Wednesday. TJ McConnell, man, his price has skyrocketed. It's 5.4K. That's expensive for him. I think Rodriguez is going to play. So if Rodriguez plays, I mean, Rodriguez is 4.4K. Only got 12 minutes last game, and TJ has been playing well. He got like 34, 36 minutes. So I'm going to wait to see what the news says, who's going to start. See if Coach Brown says how many minutes they're going to get. But I don't think I want to pay up for 5.4K for McConnell. There's other guys that I probably would prefer. I'd probably prefer to play. Yeah, I mean, I think I'd rather just spend up and play and get Rubio rather than get McConnell at 5.4. I mean, they're pretty close in price. Marcus Smart, if Avery Bradley's out again, he's been terrific. 35 and 40 and 33 the last three games without Avery Bradley. So he is one of the best value plays on the board for this slate. And right now there's not a ton of value. So I think he's safe, super safe for all formats. And if Avery Bradley's out, I might lock him in cash. I'm surprised how he's been really good offensively, which is really surprising me. His jump shot is vastly improved. I mentioned Sergio Rodriguez, but if he's not going to start, I don't want to play him. And then DJ Augustine. If Elfrid Payton is out, lock and load DJ Augustine. I mean, he's been getting 23 Fanduel points the last two games. If Payton is out at that salary, he could get me 30 Fanduel points, 35. So he'll be a lock for me in cash games if Elfrid's out. Shooting guard. James Harden, 12.4K. So I'm a little nervous here about playing him on the back-to-back. The last few times I've watched him on back-to-backs, he's been horrible. The jump shot's been so flat, and it's really hurt his production. With that said, the last two games, 69-67, with that price, he doesn't have to play well. He has to play extraordinary to hit value. He's got to get us close to 63 FanDuel points. Now, could he do it? Absolutely. And I do think he's a better play than Westbrook on paper, so a little bit safer for cash games. But, you know, you don't have to play Harden in cash. You can do it right now. I'm leaning that way, but not a ton of value on this slate. And, yeah, so I may change my mind on that. CJ McCollum, 8.7K. He's been really, I mean, even with Lillard coming back, he's been really rock steady. 35, 50, 42, 52, 59. Some of those were with Lillard out. I mean, all year long, you've been able to attack Cleveland at the shooting guard position. Now, I'm not sure who's going to be defending Lillard, who's going to be defending McCollum. What Cleveland's been doing lately, they've been putting Liggins on the team's best perimeter defender. So I would think Liggins would be on Dame Lillard and Kyrie would be on McCollum, which would make McCollum a really nice play. He is expensive. He's somewhat of a one-trick pony, and he's priced like Lillard's not playing. So I don't love the play, but I do like I do want to stack this game a little bit, so I will have some exposure for sure. Bradley Beal, 6.9K. Another one-trick pony. He was not that good against the Bulls, 24 Fanduel points. he's got to get you 35 these days to get value. I'll get some Marcus Smart defense. I mean, the problem here is just shooting guard sucks. And that's one reason why I may lean towards playing Harden in cash. I think the opportunity cost of not playing Harden, it may come back to bite you. So because shooting guard stinks, I may play more Beal than I want, because it's a relatively safe play. I think he's locked into a lot of minutes. He's got a floor of like 20, 25 FanDuel points, and he could give you a 35, 40. Evan Fournier, 5.8K. Especially if Peyton and Ibaka are out, he's going to see a nice bump in usage. And then I think he's safe for all formats. And even if those guys do play, he's fine. Not super sexy, not massive upside. It's going to be a slow, drag-it-out game. But I think he is safe for all formats, because shooting guards are so bad. Oladipo's 5.8K. He has not been that great in the last couple games, 21, 29, 29, 28. But at his price, that's basically getting close enough to value. Now he gets Memphis, as you guys well know, not a team we want to attack in any position. He'll probably get some Tony Allen defense. But it's only a six-game slate. Shooting guard stinks. So would I probably prefer a guy like Evan Fournier in cash games or Bradley Beal? Yes. But for tournaments, I think Oladipo is still fine for like a single entry or a GPP. I will have some exposure. Then we go under 5K. It gets ugly fast. Tony Allen, 4.7K. I don't want to say he's a Magic Mountain guy, but the last two games have been 9 and 40. That's a big gap. But he'll find a way to grind out 20. So you can do it. I probably won't. JJ Redick, I do like him more with Chris Paul back. The last four games, no one's probably noticed, but he's been good. 35, 24, 25, and 25. I mean, he's somewhat similar to Doug McDermott. He can't get off his own shot, but if he has Chris Paul setting him up for wide open jumpers, he can be pretty good. And the last four games, he's been starting to make his shots. At 4.5K, I'm going to say it. He's safe for all formats. That's right. The judge is letting you know. Totally fine. All formats. Not a massive upside here, but if you need a cheap value guy, you can do it. Other than that, you got Crab you can do. I wouldn't do Kyle Korver. In his first game for Cleveland, only played 18 minutes. Didn't look that great. Jamal Crawford you can do. Yeah, but that's as low as I want to go. Small forward, you got LeBron James, 10K, 10.1K. Let me real quickly ask you where Portland ranks. I know we all know you can attack the Portland bigs. But where do they rank in terms of small forward? I mean, Harkless is supposed to be a decent defender, but they give up the third most FanDuel points to opposing small forwards. As long as I find out if LeBron is playing, he may become a lock and load for me in cash games. He was still good against Utah. I mean, he got close to 50. He got 48. On this slate, I think I just want some safety at some spots. So as long as he's going to play, you can attack the hell out of Portland small forward and absolutely the power forward and center. So LeBron and Kevin Love, maybe two lock and loads for me. Carmelo, his price is coming up. I don't know why the hell it would come up after he gets ejected for the third time this year. I don't want to play him in cash. But he's still fine for single entry in tournaments. Philadelphia has struggled all year to defend that position. They give up like the seventh or eighth most FanDuel points. Lord Covington, I thought he's a better defender, but people have been lighting him up all year. So the one thing I'll say this, the last time Melo got ejected, I'm pretty sure he came back and gave me like a 50 burger. And I played a ton of him. Remember, recency bias is a real thing in DFS. So people don't like getting burned, don't like losing money, and they don't want to play the same guy who killed them a couple days ago. So for that reason, I'll probably play some more Melo than I want to. So he's fine, all formats. But I probably still won't play him in cash, because I'll probably play LeBron, and I don't know if I have enough money to play Carmelo. Andrew Wiggins. So, like I said, if LaVine is out and he goes from a 28 usage rate to a 34, something like that, 35%, that would be spectacular. And then I would consider playing him all formats. As it is, if LaVine plays, he's going to be single entry and GPPs only. But in a super fast paced game, Ariza's, if you watch Ariza these days, Ariza still has decent games, but defensively he's lost like 2-3 steps. Wiggins is really fast. It's sometimes frustrating because Wiggins he's another guy. He's like DeMar DeRozan light. He takes stupid contested 18 footers when he could just drive and get to the rim and dunk the ball. Now he should be able to drive right past Ariza and get some easy buckets in this super fast paced game. I'm a big fan of Wiggins for this slate. The man without a usage rate, Otto Porter, 5.9K. You know, he's expensive, man. And, like, I don't want to pay that price for a guy who's just never – who has a 15% usage rate. So I know he's not a one-trick pony. He does other things on the court. So you can do it. I just prefer other guys. There's nothing worse than watching your guy stand in a corner for, like, 8, 9, 10, 11 possessions in a row. That happened to me tonight with so many guys. Tobias Harris, I mean, in the fourth quarter, Reggie Jackson, dear God, passed the freaking ball, dude. Tobias Harris didn't touch the ball. It was 13 straight possessions. I counted. It's just, and that's what, I mean, Otto Porter, he's just not going to touch the ball. I mean, you got to hope it's a fast-paced game and he can get a lot of rebounds, putbacks, things like that, which he could, but I'll probably just look elsewhere. Trevor Ariza, I will have, of course, one lineup playing Ariza and Harden. Ariza played 40 minutes on Tuesday. So I know Mike D'Antoni mentioned something about limiting minutes coming up. He plays Ariza a ton of minutes for that's two straight games over 40 minutes. Ariza is another guy, a jump shooter, takes 5, 6, 7 threes a game. It worries me on a back to back because the last time I watched him on a back to back, he missed every 3-pointer. He was short. So I will have one lineup of Harden and Ariza, and I do. He's fine for single entry and GPPs. I don't want to go there in cash. Lord Peasant Covington, 5.5K. He's got a massive upside because he can get you steals, blocks, rebounds, and if he's making his shots, he'll help you win a GPP. So I don't play him in cash, but you could if you want to save some money. And I really do like him for single entry and GPPs. I will have a lot of exposure. I mean, I think I'm going to have some Wiggins and Covington's lineups that could both boom or bust. But if they both boom, they both will give me 40, 45 FanDuel points, maybe 50. And at that price, that would be fantastic. Jay Crowder, nice cash game play, 5K. Only 13 FanDuel points against his clone, Damari Carroll. In 38 minutes on Tuesday, that was frustrating. But 5K is cheap. He's similar usage rate to Otto Porter. Okay. I know he's hurt a lot of us lately, so you probably want to look elsewhere. I don't blame you. Then you got under 5K. Evan Turner, whatever. Aaron Gordon, 4.6K. I mean, Aaron Gordon is all year long, it's a yo-yo. I mentioned Frank Vogel was a dream killer a couple nights ago because the minutes with Aaron Gordon, I mean, they are somewhat consistent. We know the floor is 24. If he's playing poor, he's going to get 24 minutes. If he gets it going, he'll get up to 34, 35 minutes. So at 4.6K, even if he only gets 24 minutes, I still think he should find a way to give us 20 FanDuel points. And he's hit 20. It looks like in 4 of the last 5 games and like 6 of the last 8 games. So he is a guy who could give you a 10 FanDuel points and he could turn into the those we don't speak of. But against the Clippers, Mbah Moute, this guy's like 75 years old. I think Aaron Gordon's fine. And if Ibaka and Elfrid Payton are out, even more shots for Aaron Gordon. It's too cheap. Let's take advantage of it. Then you got the usual bums, Mo Harkless, Roberson. I mean, they can stumble, bumble, fumble into 20 FanDuel points if you want to play them. Power forward, Kevin Love. He should be lock and load in your cash games. Just get him in. Don't even overthink it. Portland gives up the most FanDuel points to opposing power forwards. As long as Love is going to play, did not play great against Utah. But Portland, it's just too tasty to pass up for me. He's going to be lock and load in cash. Porzingis, really disappointed me the other night, giving me a 17 FanDuel points against New Orleans. I mean, the Knicks played so bad against the Pelicans, you would think they're super pumped up for this game. And I expect all of them to come back and play well. Now, it helps that they're playing Philly, who stinks. So, also, Porzingis has a nice matchup. I mean, who's going to be guarding him? Ersan, Saric, Okafor. So he's in a good spot, but I'm not going to play him in cash on this slate. I prefer Love over him by far, you know, pretty easily. So single entry in tournaments only. Zach Randolph, he's a relatively safe cash game play. I mean, he's the last two games, 35 and 48 FanDuel points, which is pretty crazy. I mean, yeah, he's still not even starting. It's expensive. Not a guy I'd prefer to. You don't think of him. He doesn't have much upside. He got the over 35 FanDuel points against Golden State when they just pounded the Golden State inside. You know, I don't see that happening again on Wednesday. But if you want to do it, I don't blame you, because he's been really good. The problem is he going to get 35 minutes again? I don't think so. I think he gets 27 minutes, and he'll probably find a way to use his fat butt and bully Cantor and Adams and those guys into like 25 FanDuel points. So I expect a decent night, not a great night for him. Ersan Ilyasova, 5.9K. He's the perfect fit next to Embiid. The problem is we got to make sure he starts. As long as he starts, I think he's fine for cash games. You know, he's somewhat similar to Zach Randolph in terms of production lately, a little more consistent. You know, only 26 minutes against Brooklyn, 32 against Boston, Minnesota. If you tell me he gets 32 minutes against the Knicks, I would sign up for that. I mean, Porzingis is a really good defender. The Knicks do defend that position really well. But Ersan's fine. I think he's fine for all formats as long as he's starting. He's a perfect stretch four with Embiid. Enes Kanter, he's always only a single entry or tournament play for me. The price has come up a little bit. Now he's going up against Memphis. Normally he just feasts, and I see him struggling a little bit here against Zebo, against Marcus Gasol, guys like that. So I'm not going to have a ton of exposure to him, but I get it. If you want to play him in tournaments, you know, you still can. Gorgui Dieng, 5.5K. Another guy, just super safe. I prefer him on this slate. I prefer him to Cantor, maybe even to Ersan and Zach Randolph. He might be one of my favorite cash game plays, a power forward, just because Minnesota's playing so much up in pace. He's going to get so many extra possessions. And if he gets 35 minutes, he's gonna bumble, stumble, fumble into some extra rebounds, some extra buckets. And maybe if LaVine is out, he gets some more touches. I should mention, if LaVine is out, I mean, I'm not sure who they would start. Maybe it'd be Shabazz Muhammad. So if Muhammad's starting, Muhammad's always been a fantasy point per minute guy. You can use Muhammad basically in all formats if Muhammad starts. Maybe a little risky in cash, because maybe they play a lot of Dunn as well. But I think Muhammad would be a really good tournament play if he starts. Then you got Ryan Anderson, tournaments only. It's just, if you play him, make sure you play him with Harden. Markieff Morris, 5.1K. Aminu has been really good lately. He's been rebounding the ball phenomenally. Against the Lakers, he had 36 FanDuel points. The last four, 36, 30, 32, 28. He's still dirt cheap at 4.6K. The problem with him is Portland still is so bad defending the power forward position. I guess he did well against Randall on Tuesday, but I don't think he can handle Kevin Love. But at 4.6K, I think Aminu is – if you want to play Love and Aminu from that game, I think he can do it. JaMychal Green is 4.5K, so his price has come all the way down. Wow, he's been bad. Last three, he hasn't even hit 20. So probably want to look elsewhere, but if you want to play him in cash or yeah, you only have 4.5K left, it's okay to do. Then you got Saric, Amir Johnson. You can play those guys if you want. All right, center. Man, the judge's voice is going fast. I'm getting hoarse. Nose is running. One position left to go. Karl-Anthony Towns, 9.5K. So he is in an elite spot here. Minnesota playing way up in pace. Houston has no one to defend him. I mean, I love Montrezl Harrell in terms of his how he hustles and he's really athletic, but he can't handle Towns, especially on the perimeter. Towns' body is too big down low, and I think Towns is way too quick for someone like Nene. So he should feast here. He is getting someone expensive, but if you have the money to do it, totally fine for all formats in this game. If Towns ended up being the highest scoring player of the night, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, that's how elite I think this matchup is for him. Marc Gasol, 8.2K. It's okay. I mean, I just prefer other guys on this slate. I'm not a huge fan of attacking Steven Adams either. DeAndre Jordan, 7.5K. Yep, I'm totally fine using him in cash, all formats. I love him with Chris Paul being back. 30, 38, 44, 39. He's basically similar to Gobert, except less expensive. Just people forget him. He's always low owned, but he's super safe. He's gonna find a way to get you between 30 and 45 Fando points. You also can attack the hell out of Orlando bigs. Vucevic is one of the worst defenders and worst rebounders I've ever seen in my life. So Jordan should be able to crush those guys. And if you play Jordan, though, I recommend playing a CP3 DeAndre Jordan lineup. Joel Embiid, his price keeps coming up a little bit, 7.5K, but with his usage rate still close to 35%, he's fine for all formats. I mean, I do prefer probably a guy like Jordan in cash games, because Jordan's going to give you 35 minutes, and whereas Embiid still does have a 28-minute restriction. Now, with that said, the Knicks are, I don't know, I mean, they're atrocious defending center. I mean, they give up. Where's defense versus position? Where is it? They give up the fifth most Fando points to opposing centers. So, I mean, Embiid is in an elite spot here. Single entry and GPPs. I'm going to load up. I'm going to play him a decent amount. But center is probably one of the best positions besides point guard on the slate. So you have a lot of nice options. You don't have to use Embiid. Al Horford, 7.4K. With Avery Bradley out, he sees a nice uptick in usage. Another guy, pretty safe. He's got like a floor of 30 these days. Last five games, the floor of 30, a ceiling of like 45. So just nothing sexy about him, but, you know, nice and safe. I still prefer DeAndre Jordan probably to him. Do I prefer Embiid? Yeah, I guess I'd play Embiid over Horford. Embiid has more upside. Vucevic, 6.9K. You can attack DeAndre Jordan on the defensive end. So Vucevic's fine. And if Payton and Ibaka are out, maybe they actually start like a Vucevic, Bismack front court. And if a Vucevic could somehow get over 30 minutes, he's been a fantasy point per minute guy. He's given you like 30 fantasy points in like 30 minutes a night lately. So a nice single entry GBP player. He'll be low owned. Mason Plumlee. He disappointed a lot of us against the Lakers on Tuesday, only 24 Fando points. I know he was a lot of guys' favorite plays on that slate for center. He's fine. Center's loaded. I don't love it. I don't hate it. So I'll have a little exposure maybe. Gortat, you can attack Boston big, so he's fine for all formats. The upside's not a massive, but he's okay. Steven Adams, I don't like attacking Gasol, so not the day that I'm going to have a ton of exposure to him. Then you got under 5K, Tristan Thompson. He's so unpleasant to play. And then you look at his box scores, 27, 21, 32. So if you want to, I mean, occasionally he ends up in like a winning GPP lineup. I don't know how the hell it happens. He played 35 minutes against Utah. But normally he plays around 28 minutes. Against Portland, I don't know how many minutes he'll get. He's fine. I never play him, but if you want to play him, you can do it. Talk about a man with no usage rate. What is his? His has to be his. It's got to be like 10%. What is it? Yeah, 10.2%. Look at that. Look at the judge's knowledge. All right. Oh wow. What the hell happened here? So Montrezl Harrell, his price fell all the way to 4.8K. I'm pretty sure it was like 5.3K tonight. So, I mean, if you're going to give me Montrezl Harrell for free, dear God, if you want to punt the position now at center, yeah, you can easily punt with Harrell. Maybe you want to line up with a Westbrook and a Harden in like a tournament. I mean, Harrell's he's been great. He plays with Harden really well on the court. He gets so many easy buckets. Like I said, not the best matchup in the world. So if I find out that Nene is starting over him, that will be a little disappointing. But why his price came down $500, I will not understand. He's coming off 230 FanDuel point nights. So he's safe for all formats on this slate. Well, that's really surprising. And that's about as low as I'll go. All right, guys, we did it. The judge came through. I feel like crap. It's 3 in the morning. All right, I need to go to bed. Where's my gavel? I hope you made some money. I hope you played some Valanciunas on Tuesday. I hope you didn't play those we don't speak of. Although, if you're like me, we all probably played him at least in one lineup. He's 50% owned. But this is a nice little fun slate. It's going to be very interesting to see what all of us do with the Westbrook and Harden on this slate, as well as Chris Paul, very sneaky. The more I think about it, the more I'm liking teaming up as a Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan. So it's an exciting six game slate. Let's attack it. Let's achieve some glory on Wednesday. Make sure you download, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Download the app Draft. Use the promo code DFBPOD. Let's get in the NCAA style bracket challenge. Let's definitely fill that thing up. And that's it. Holler at me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. I love you guys. I'm going to bed. Court is adjourned.